T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, and Tim Allen joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, host of our baseball postgame show, which... this is the music for it. We have not heard it much, if at all, this summer. Timmy, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. Just doing some jamming here.
Hey, jamming out a little bit? Oh, you're playing it on your end as well.
That's right.
Look at that.
Hey, we're closer to baseball, Bart.
Okay, we are.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we could actually find out when we're playing baseball. Because there's another proposal that the players shot down, and they said, can you just tell us when we're going to play or not? And so they wanted by the end of business day today. So we could find out when teams are supposed to report and stuff, but it will not be because of a compromise. It will be because of Rob Manfred saying, look, I can do this. I'm going to do it. You play about 50 games. We won't expand the postseason. Can't do that under this. You haven't agreed to that. So we'll play 50 games and do a postseason and then go home. The more I think about that, I think, because the last time I talked to you, I said, someone asked me if the Brewers won a World Series after a 50-game season, would it count? And I said, well, hey, it's the 60 you win, the 60 you lose, and whatever's in the middle, these games would be in the middle. I'm starting to think that it wouldn't count. It wouldn't be the same. We can pretend it's the same, but it wouldn't be the same. But then again, I also think, Tim, to counterpoint my own point, people keep bringing up the Nationals of last year because after 50 games, they were 19-31. They won the World Series. There's no way they'd be in the playoffs at 19-31, okay? So you think, well, you can't do it. But then how did they get to the World Series? They won a one-game wild card after 162 games. They didn't play a traditional series. They played a one-game wild card against the Brewers that they won. One game. So we already have these funky, weird quirks in the schedule, in the playoffs. So why wouldn't a 50-game schedule count? So I'm going back and forth. I think ultimately if they win the World Series, in air quotes, I'm excited. Maybe 10 years in the future, I say, oh, it wasn't the same. But if they win a World Series and they're holding up the piece of metal that Rob Manfred thinks the World Series trophy is, I don't see how I'm sitting there on TV just going, oh, great. No, I'm going to be ecstatic and hammered.
Well, and you have to measure. There's a couple of things here, Bart. Let's see how you feel once you get into the day-to-day grind of baseball. Once you see that, you know, maybe it plays well for a team like the Brewers who have, you know, the one big money guy. Well, I guess you could say a couple. There's obviously Christian Yelich with the new deal, but Brawny's well paid. Lorenzo Cain is well paid. Outside of those guys, there is the risk here of some of these veterans, big money veterans, you know, declining this 50-60 game schedule. That will just say, I'll just sit it out. The risk factor isn't for me. We have to measure that in here. So the teams, the high payroll teams, if it is a shortened season around 50 games, they may be hit harder with some of these guys that say, you know what, I'm going to take a pass on this, which I certainly respect. I totally understand and respect the risk factor for some of these guys. So does that bode well for the Brewers being a lower payroll type team? It could. And so we'll have to wait to see how that shakes out. The real disappointing thing in all of this is, I don't know if you've had a chance to read the back and forth between Bruce Meyer, who is negotiating on the players' union side, and Dan Halem, the deputy commissioner of Major League Baseball. I mean, it's almost like they're not speaking English at all. You have to have a dictionary to kind of read some of these words back and forth with these guys. And that's what we've had our conversations about this on the air for quite some time now. And that is, can we just look people in the eye and go man to man on this and just talk like normal common sense? They're all throwing in these big eight-letter words and trying to be cool about it because they know this is going to leak to the media. That's the unfortunate thing about this. But let's see what happens today. Conference call amongst the owners. They're probably unilaterally going to throw down the gauntlet here in terms of a schedule, and then we just go from there. It looks like it's going to be a sprint-type season.
You know, I wonder, because we do see the negotiations. We see them back and forth, and it gets leaked immediately, and that may be part of the strategy because nobody wants to lose the PR battle. Bart Winkler talking with Tim Allen here on the Fan of Our Baseball postgame show, which may return soon as the players say, we're done negotiating. Just tell us when we need to show up, and we'll play the dictated 50-game or so schedule that Rob Manfred has the power to do. Let's say we didn't know any of this, because I keep saying the more we find out, the more we see how the bread is buttered or sausage is made, the more like I'm falling back out of love with baseball. But I wonder if we didn't know anything, and for 2 months, all Jeff Passan was saying was, update, they're still negotiating. Would we be like, but tell us the terms. We need to know what the facts are. So I don't know if this... I just feel like the way that they've gone about this, it is not helping their cause. When baseball comes back, guys like you and guys like me, we can, like, it's your job. You love it more than anything. You need employment, so you'll obviously be there. I can posture and say, I'll be watching it. Are you kidding me? But I wonder about the more casual fan, even the casual fan who over the last few years with the Brewers became more of a diehard. I wonder if they're going to have the time for it. I really do.
I'm more confident in baseball fans than most, and I'll tell you why. If you look back, and I know we'll get to that in just a bit, the long summer, but if you look back at the 94 strike and you look at how attendance dropped, 15, 20% after that. But then it gained. It gained the following year. It was 4%. And then it was another 5%. And then it was another 4%. And then after 1998, the attendance actually dropped a little bit. So when we heard that dialogue of, that home run chase between McGuire and Sosa, that helped the attendance. I think that may have been overplayed just a little bit in terms of, people shun the game a little bit. Here's why I think that it's always going to have a foundation of a fan base. If you look at the number of youth baseball programs in America, there's always that built in. That's not going away, Bart. That's always going to be there. So that's going to just sort of nature or nurture, however you want to look at that, from 9, 10-year-old and 10 to 12-year-old Little League, and then the travel programs and, your rec ball and your 10-game seasons and your T-balls and that's always going to be there because those aren't going away anytime soon. So you will have that built-in foundation of just, that fan base. Now, does the advent of nobody collecting baseball cards because they priced out of that's unfortunate. And I'm getting hit in the pocketbook with that. It's tough to buy these things anymore.
Oh, you know what you got to do to cut you off? So, and this is my friend Rick is going to be upset with me. He's at Name That Card, 92nd and Blue Mound, who I've done a podcast with. And I actually do want to talk to him soon again. But I had to go to Walgreens the other day in one of my few ventures out of the house. They've got in their toy aisle, they've got... like 100 baseball cards for $5. And there's an old pack in there, too. So you open a fresh pack and get 100 cards.
Yeah, but the other cards
are a football one. I got a Jordan Love and Jonathan Taylor rookie.
Nice. But the other cards, if you go back and these are old baseball cards and they're in a nice package and they're stacked in there and they give you one, like, you know, a McGuire card. But, you know, they're stacked in there. I think that, but the unopened pack, I'll agree with you on that. But again, these youth baseball and softball programs, I think, will always be in the fabric of our country. I do. I believe that. And then there's no indication that these things are going away. There's every indication that these things are actually expanding. You look at some of the baseball facilities, like Hitters. That was a big one for many, many years down there in Racine. But if you look at some of the facilities that are opening up, and the lessons and the one-on-ones and the work at the off-season workouts, you'll always have that. Baseball, will people be a little bit pissed that, you know, they can't get their stuff together? Of course. I'm not exactly pleased with the negotiations myself, but it'll survive. It will.
See, I want to counter that too, because you know what sport I love and adore, the sport of soccer. Mm-hmm. And you drive around the community on a given weeknight in the summer, outside of this year, and there are soccer games going on all the time. And every parent's got to have their kid, their dumb little soccer game where they all run around and like little packs, and, you know, nobody knows what they're doing. And then you have one kid who is like growing faster, so he scores all the goals. Those kids don't turn into soccer fans. Those parents don't turn into soccer fans. So I wouldn't say that the youth numbers are indicative either way. I worry about baseball having a hard time coming back, because in 94, when I quit on the sport and came back in 98, think of the options entertainment-wise then to now. I don't think baseball can survive a four-year rehab period before something cool happens again. I think if you bail on baseball this time, you've done it before, and you're out. So I am more worried for the sport if people bail.
These guys are overpaid. That's the reality of it. I'm not blaming these guys for, you know, accepting the direct deposit. That's not where I'm at. But we all know they're overpaid for what they do. They are. Most people would agree with that. Most of our audience right now would agree that these guys are overpaid, even at the major league minimum of, you know, $563,500 a season. It's kind of overpaid when you think about
relative to the everyday jobs. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Sure.
But I don't blame them for accepting it and taking it and maneuvering it to the point where, you know, the NBA has partnered with their players. The NFL has partnered with their players. Yeah, someone's got to own it. Someone's got to make some calls. Someone's got to make some hires and fires. We get all that. Baseball, a little bit different. And I don't know if that is that wheel of justice, if you will, is going to be reinvented. I'm not sure. We've talked about it. You've talked about it. On the postgame show, we've had this economic structure of baseball conversation a million times over. And at some point, something has to change, because we're going to battle this, you know, on a regular basis. Every new CBA that comes up, we're going to be battling this. And you watch. Now, if the owners get super mad, and now it's even a more dry free agent market this offseason, which I presume, I would expect, because after next year, December 1st of next year, that union agreement between the owners and the players, it's over. And now if they want to draw the line in the sand and say, well, here's what we're going to offer, well, look out, because we could have a work stoppage after next year.
Tim, can you stay a couple minutes?
Sure thing. Yeah.
All right. More with Tim Allen coming up here on The Fan. Bart Winkler, Tim Allen joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Great Midwest Bank has your passion outgrown your home. A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. For those of you out in Horvation, Ryan Horvath will be back tomorrow. Sam Schmitz hanging out here today. 414-799-1250. Long Gone Summer, the documentary on ESPN last night highlighting Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa's chase in 98 with the home runs. The documentary itself, I don't think it was very good. But the summer of 98 was good. The summer of 98 was awesome. And I've said a million times, it's what brought me back into the sport. I was very upset as a 10-year-old boy in 1994. Hated baseball so much that I would turn on MLS games on TVs at my friend's house, thinking it would increase the ratings for soccer and thinking that I was going to single-handedly tear down the MLB. But the home run chase brought me back. What do you remember about that?
Bart, let me ask you something. You were a Looney Tune even as a kid?
I've always been fascinated with TV ratings.
Yeah, I thought you just acquired your looniness as you got a little bit older.
No, I did radio shows in my bedroom by myself. I had a whole cast of characters. Yeah. The weatherman was a talking sheep.
Not surprised.
I would totally play it for you, but I did that all when I was like 12, and then when I was like 16, I thought, these aren't cool. What if someone heard them?
Played soccer.
I swam. Soccer. Ran track.
Yeah.
Swimming, soccer, track, the big three for alpha males.
The documentary last night. Now, details get a little sketchy as I get a little bit older. 1998, I was doing country radio at the time. So my boss and I, and I can't, there were two other guys or whoever with us. We went to County Stadium to see the Cardinals in town. And honestly, Bart, I'd have to look for the ticket stub. And McGwire did not homer that day. But I recall sitting upper deck, first base side, a little bit past first base, and just, you know, doing our thing. And it was a zoo. I want to say it was August, so it wasn't way early. The fire had been started on the home run chase. But it was wild. I mean, back then, the advent of the internet, you could just check at that point in a given moment. So you could check. However, it still didn't take full hold on us, obviously, at that time. So what, you'd walk into a bar and it's like they'd have a Cub game or a Cardinal game on, and you're like, did he?
Yeah.
You know, it was, everybody was into it like that. Now, the PED thing, they mentioned that a little bit. By the way, I thought Sammy Sosa was slighted a little bit on the documentary. It was mainly all McGwire. Now, again, granted, he's the one that got the record at that time. But Sosa, I had a little eye-opener about Sammy Sosa. Seems like a good dude.
Yeah, honestly, well, don't tell Cubs fans that. They never want him back for some reason.
No, I know that. And I was wondering why as I was watching that. He seemed like he was smiling and laughing and just having some fun. He seemed like a really – that was an eye-opener to me a little bit. But the McGwire thing on the PED stuff, hey, there was no – was he breaking the rules at the time? I mean, it was the Wild West at the time.
I mean he had the stuff in his locker sitting there.
Sitting there on a shelf.
If he thought he was doing something illegal, he would at least tape over it and put Flintstone vitamins, you know, on the scotch tape. He would at least try to cover it up. The steroid thing, you know, and these guys aren't in the Hall of Fame, and Bud Selig gets tainted and for it. I think he should get celebrated. This brought so many people back into baseball. I look at it, and I enjoy the summer of 98. I enjoyed it so much as a kid. Rediscovering my first love of sports was baseball. And I rediscovered it. And then a couple of years later, these guys are at Capitol Hill, and people are trying to tell me, well, they cheated. So all those memories, you re-falling in love with your first love, doesn't count, because they were doing things that Roger Maris and Hank Aaron and Babe Ruth shouldn't have done. Well, okay, but I still enjoyed that summer, and it still got me to be a baseball fan where I am today. And you have Bob Costas on there last night. You know, you can be a good person, but it's the morality. Like, he's the keeper of baseball all of a sudden. I enjoyed that year. If you use steroids, if it says, do not put this in your body, and then you do, well, you're breaking a rule. But I'm not going to retroactively criminalize everybody that did this in that era, especially when it brought me back. I have a hard time getting mad at Ryan Braun Now, should he have lied? No. Should he have tarnished that one dude? No. But ultimately, and I say this, and I haven't decided if it's a hot take or my real opinion, he took steroids to help my Brewers win, man. He took PEDs to help my team win. So I'm going to be mad at him for that, man. You know what I'm saying?
I'll continue to be consistent on this. If you have cheated the game of baseball or football, any sport for that matter, if you have been, if you fail a league-mandated drug test in terms of PEDs, if you cork a bat, if you're Phil or Joe Niekro, I'm one of the Russell brothers, I don't know who it was, scuffing up baseballs. If you are caught and suspended for it, then it's very simple. Just earmark that. Don't take away his numbers. Don't take away his potential Hall of Fame. Don't just rule out the Hall of Fame. You let the voting system take a hold. But you just earmark the fact that Sammy Sosa had a cork bat. Just saying. We're just reminding you that he broke the rules in terms of cheating. We're just reminding you that Niekro got caught, I think it was Niekro, I'm not sure, but scuffing a baseball. We're just reminding you that Ryan Braun had failed a league-mandated drug test and accepted the penalty.
We just want to remind you that Ryan Braun failed a drug test.
That's all we're doing. And let people judge. Let people judge as they look through the MLB record books or the NFL rushing yardage or whatever it might
be. But also, people that say, well, to me, Hank Aaron's the real home run king. But he's not, though. You know? Bonds broke it.
So, he did break it.
So Bonds is the home run king.
Yes,
he is. Now, if you don't like how he got it, that's up to you. I don't like that the Astros stole signs, but they're the World Series champions. I mean, you can't change history. So no, even
and it's up to us to judge that. It really is up to us. But earmark it. Yeah, I think it's important to note these things, to just avoid them, knowing full well that Sammy Sosa had cork in his bat during a game. He was cheating, caught red-handed, smoking gun, laying there, shards of it, all around home plate. Just simply note the fact that he did that, and then let people judge accordingly.
Hank Aaron's my home run king. I don't like that. The other thing with baseball, I tweeted this last night. I said, biggest problems with baseball. Greed, obviously. But a close second is people too often in the sport whine when records are broke, but they're not being broken the right way or by the right guy. Roger Maris, and I'm glad they brought that up because the doc on him 10 years ago was really good. He's just trying to play baseball, and he's cranking bombs, and he's getting death threats for being good at his job. Just give me dingers and throw in some pitchers throwing no-nos on LSD while you're at it. That was fun, too. It was the anniversary of that the other day. So well,
if you go back, look at Super Bowl X, Pittsburgh and Dallas, you had one guy on amphetamines, you had one guy on cocaine, and you had one guy on acid.
Right. The problem is, baseball, the rule, the period of time has always been the same, and we think, oh, well, 162 games in 2020 is the same as 162 games in 1920 because it's 162 games. But we don't take into account that the fences were shorter. Babe Ruth hit home runs. The fence was as high as my knees, Tim. Okay. Right. Babe Ruth faced some pitching that these guys would get kicked off of your bar league softball team. These guys were terrible. So it's so hard to compare eras, yet in baseball we still think we can because it's the same number of games and the sanctity of this. Now you have guys completely playing different. You didn't have a shift 50 years ago. You didn't have a shift 5 years ago. 2 years ago, we still had people on the station taking phone calls about if you should ban the shift in baseball. You know how ridiculous that is? The game changes, and so we think we can compare it era to era, but it's not as easy to compare as we like to believe.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL adjusts to certain quirks. The run-pass option phase that the NFL went through some years ago, well, they corrected that. Hitters, you want to beat the shift? Hit the ball the other way. It's very simple. It tends to level things off a little bit. You tinker too much with something that was a constant, and to a large degree is still a constant. know, it's I don't like all that. I just don't. So be prepared, folks, for today. An announcement I'll be watching for this that, you know, the Major League Baseball season looks like now it's a little past mid-July to get going, but I presume there'll be somewhere around a 55-game schedule announced later today. This is my guess. And that, you know, players are going to have to report to duty. One thing really to keep an eye on, though, guys, is what type of player decides the risk is too much for him and his family in terms of COVID. That's the that's going to change the landscape a little bit. It really will. The environment's going to be a little bit different. Bart, if you made millions and millions of dollars and you had, you know, I don't know, last year you made $17 million, just last year, would you go back for 55 games?
I don't know. I don't know. I make $22,000 now, and I'm at work.
I probably wouldn't, honestly. If I were set in that regard, I probably wouldn't. I mean, let's face it. People do die from this thing. Now, we're all not going to die from this thing, but people are dying from this thing. Okay, well, if I made $17 million last year, I might sit this one out.
Tim Allen, appreciate you and your time, and we will talk to you hopefully a lot more, I would think, with baseball.
I'm hoping, man. I
need probably some coming back.
I need some cash. Get me back to work.
What's been the most exciting day of your COVID life?
Just my music stuff. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, playing guitar and
singing. See, kids, it's always good to have a fallback.
That's right. Piano lesson. I would recommend this. Play the sax. The saxophone. Moms, dads, get your kids into a saxophone. You can jump in with any band, anytime, anywhere. It's cool.
Tim Allen, love you, and we'll talk soon.
See you, Bart.
Love you. Okay, Tim Allen, Great Midwest Bank Hotline, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Love you too, Bart. Oh, thanks. 414-799-1250. We'll continue this conversation. And, yeah, we keep saying baseball could be announcing they're back today. The details on why that might happen today coming up next on The Fan. Bart Winkler along with Sam Schmitz, 414-799-1250. ESPN really confusing us. They had four-letter network, sorry. They had the Last Dance documentary. We're supposed to hate the Bulls, but who didn't root for those Jordan teams? And then we hate the Cubs and Cardinals, but, you know, just seeing some of those home runs again, I get goosebumps. I enjoyed that summer. Dude cranked 70 bombs. Sosa, I think it's 66. These guys didn't know each other really before the season and now are forever linked. It brought me back into baseball. So, yeah, did they take a little of the wacky tobacco steroid version? Sure. Am I mad about it? I'm not. I'm not. 414-799-1250. Jacob's on the south side. Good morning, Jacob. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Bart. Look, I respect your opinion. And I get, like, you know, that magical summer. I was 13 that year, and I remember people that, you know, weren't even really into baseball. Like, I watched McGuire break that record with my mom, and she, you know, my mom doesn't watch baseball, didn't know anything about it, but we're both going crazy in the living room when he did it because, you know, you thought you were witnessing something cool. The problem I have, and, you know, I'm totally on board with keeping those guys out of the hall, and, you know, those are tainted numbers in my eyes, is that there needs to be accountability in this world. So if you put a guy like that in the Hall of Fame, all you're really saying is, yeah, you can break the rules, you'll get a little bit of heat at the time, but in the end, everything's going to be okay. It kind of reminds me, I have three kids, you know, so if one of them does something bad in the house and I punish them, you know, you need to have a 5-minute timeout. If I take them out of timeout after a minute, they know, oh, okay, I can just do this again. Or I'll put another metaphor. I know you're a pro wrestling fan like I am. Chris Benoit was one of the greatest.
Did you watch last night?
Ever. I didn't watch last night, no. But just in a general sense, like I said,
it was not great.
What was not great?
Backlash.
Oh, last night, yes. I watched the main event. Not for me.
Yeah.
But, like I said, someone like Chris Benoit. I can't watch his matches, you know, knowing he was one of the greatest of all time, but knowing what happened, like, I literally, it comes on the screen, and I'm like, I can't watch this. Now, I'm not going to go that far, because obviously you're talking about two severely different things. But in the case of someone like, say, Ryan Braun, yes, like, you know, the Maguire-Sosa thing, that kind of brought me into baseball. I wasn't a huge baseball fan as a kid. That kind of got me into it. But Ryan Braun, like, he broke me. I still watch baseball. I still like it. But I can't get into it the same way I can, because Ryan Braun was our guy. So when that happened, like, it was just heartbreaking. And it's like, okay, I watch baseball now, and I just assume that they're all doing steroids, because eventually somebody's going to break your heart. So, again, I get it. I get the romanticizing of it, but I'm all about accountability and about putting those guys in the Hall of Fame. Same with Pete Rose. It just proves that you can do bad things, you can break the rules, and eventually you'll get enough sympathy to come back. And I'm just not with that. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. And I want you to hear my rebuttals. So I'll thanks for the call, but certainly you said you respect my opinion, and I thank you for that. I respect yours. I will admit to you that this is one of the rare instances where my opinion is based off my emotion. I think that too often in the world today, we ignore the facts and we vote or decide what to do or whatever on emotion rather than facts. So there's two different things, and I think I brought this up at one point today. The Astros, stealing signs, cheating to get to the World Series. I don't like that they did that. I'm mad that they did. I wanted to, the closest place they were going to play this summer was Chicago, the White Sox. I was going to go to that game just to heckle the Astros. I'm pissed at them. And then they try to be all smug about it. And Jose Altuve probably got a wire on and he's pretending he got a new tattoo. That bothered the hell out of me. I don't like that. But I look at that from a rational standpoint. I have a harder time with steroids getting there because I look at it with emotion. I do look at it like a 14-year-old kid. And I might even, you know, with Ryan Braun, I look at it as he's one of our guys. So instead of it hurt, you can go the way that it hurt you more. But I've always defended him because he's my guy. So in this case, and I really do try to, you know, opinions need to be how you feel based on facts. When in this case with steroids, I will happily admit how I feel is based on how I feel, if that makes sense. I'm not looking at the facts and then making my opinion. I'm deciding how it made me feel and then going from there. Ultimately, I think they do get into the Hall of Fame. They should. I look at the Hall of Fame as guys that were good enough to be told in the story of the sport. How do you tell the story of baseball without the gambling, without Pete Rose? How do you tell the story of baseball on the field without Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa? How do you tell the story of football without O.J. Simpson? He's a terrible person. On the football field, he should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame for what he did as a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Is he in the Good Person Hall of Fame? No, he's terrible. But on the football field, he's part of the story of the NFL, just like McGwire, Sosa, Bonds are in baseball. That's, for me, how I think of that. Ryan tweets in, says, yeah, steroids a thing, cork bats. But in reality, you still have to hit a ball moving 90 miles an hour. What you think? Sure, you still need talent. It's just not, you don't, you know, put a needle in your butt and all of a sudden you can hit 73 home runs. That's not how that works. When the steroid conversation comes up, I still see myself in that bedroom on that Tuesday night in September watching McGwire hit 62, and I remember how that made me feel. And I feel like the steroid conversation is trying to make me feel guilty about how much I fell back in love with the sport. So that's why, in this case, I am looking at it with emotion rather than maybe a more factual point of view. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz is here. Ryan Horvath back tomorrow, 799-1250 here on the...
Giannis, how about that? What an unbelievable play.
The countdown to the Bucks' return back to the championship
We continue to recap the Bucks 2020 season up to the restart, which we still assume will happen. And there was a common thread to the first few games for the Bucks, at least in their losses. They blew leads. Blew a big lead to the Celtics, lost. Big lead to the Heat, lost. They blew a big lead to the Raptors up until this point of the season. They were able to win that game. They found themselves against the Jazz on the other side of things, down 22 points at one point. Giannis, only with 2 points in the first half, came roaring back with 28 in the second half for 30 on the night against the Jazz, including here when he countered a huge Jazz possession with a three-point shot to give the Bucks the 88-87 lead.
Good finish, but he's got to do a better job trying to stay in front of him. Royce O'Neal forced him to shoot a contested three, let him get middle.
Giannis calmly walks up the court and drains a three.
Well, I'm running my mouth. Giannis is knocking down threes. Well, I'll keep running my mouth then if that's going to happen on a consistent basis.
In this environment against a good team like that, to show the character, kind of the competitiveness to immediately in the third quarter kind of go on a 7-0 run, just fight our way back in, give ourselves a chance to win. Very, very proud of the effort.
That sequence, however, would be the only time the Bucks led in this one. Tied at 100 with 1.3 seconds to go. Bojan Bogdanović made the home crowd happy.
Joe Ingles will inbound. Brook Lopez will cover that. Robin Lopez back in the paint. 1.3 remaining. Bogdanović for the victory. Salt Lake City.
Fox Sports Wisconsin, our thanks to them for the highlights. Mike Budenholzer in there as we continue to recap the Bucks season, taking you up to the presumed restart. Some discussion over the weekend that maybe some players don't want to go. We'll have details on that coming up momentarily. One of the things that I'm happy to do, Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, is admit that I don't know everything. I feel like it's a lost trait in this business. Like, for instance, last week I admitted that for a long time I thought Isaiah Thomas was Isaiah Thomas's son. I don't know which Bogdanović is which. Like, I don't know, because there's one that plays for the Kings and one that plays for the Jazz.
Yeah.
And the one that plays for the Jazz used to play for the Pacers.
Yeah, he has a very punchable face, too.
Okay, and they're not related.
No, I thought they were, though, for a little bit.
I thought they were the same guy forever. I didn't know there were two of them for the longest time. And which is the one that Bucks fans want over Middleton? The Jazz one?
Yeah.
Or the... Which one's better, the Jazz one?
Well, the Jazz one... No, I'm sorry, the Sacramento one's younger. The Jazz one's just more of kind of like a three-point specialist.
Okay.
Tony Snell crossed him over, though, last year.
See, that's also one of those things. Sometimes in sports, a story happens, and I, like, go out of my way not to know. Like when, oh, Bobby Petrino, Louisville, I don't care. And I go out of my way not to know. And with the Bogdanoviches, I don't want to know. I'm annoyed that there's two of them, and I'm annoyed that I didn't know that for a long time. So I want that to be the life that I live. I don't want to learn about it. In that game against the Jazz won. Hit the three at the end. Bucks lose that game. That was game six of the season. So, or game seven of the season. They fall in that one. They go to 6-3 on the year. They started off, again, the Bucks did start off with some bumpy issues where they would blow big leads. But at least in that situation, they were really bad in the first half. Again, Giannis just had 2 points. They came back, so they proved that they could do that. But then ultimately, they did lose. So we are continuing to take you through the Bucks season, hopefully up to July 31st. And I thought the big news was going to be, hey, they actually might start on July 30th. But now the big news over the weekend is they might not even start at all, as Kyrie Irving, and we'll have more details on this in a minute, and like 79 other players were on a conference call with a lot of concerns. We'll get into those concerns. This is one of those things I don't know if I have a take on, because I don't know if I'm qualified to. But ultimately, I and this is what I've been saying for a while too, I think it comes down to LeBron, Sam. I think if the Lakers were bad, or the Cavs or whoever goes on were bad, it is such an asset for the Bucks that LeBron James is good.
Right.
Because a lot of people listen to LeBron, and if he wants to play, I think a lot of people will follow. The issue is for some of these guys, they don't know if it's going to be safe. There's some of that going on. They don't know if they might be bored, so they don't want to do it. And there's other things going on in the world. So there's a lot going on. But I think if LeBron wants to play, I think ultimately they will play.
Yeah, Patrick Beverley even said it. If LeBron says we're going to play, we're going to play.
Now, George Hill, the only Buck I've heard from on this is George Hill said basketball is the furthest thing from my mind. So I don't know if that means he's not interested in coming back. There's so much going on. Like, and this is why I don't know if I have a take on it. I'm not a black athlete, first of all. Duh. And if you're watching this stuff go on, and it really does feel like change is actually happening, and this is a moment, you may not feel like playing is the right thing to do. Now, you may feel like it is the right thing to do. Austin Rivers with a long Instagram post saying, we can have this platform. We can make more money. I don't want to give that up. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but I don't want to give up that platform and the money that I can get and then put into good causes. But then Steven Jackson, who, again, used to play in the NBA and is at the forefront of this because he knew they were like tight as kids, George Floyd. He says it's a distraction. It's not good. So I'm not qualified from that standpoint to say, oh, well, you should. I don't know. And then also the safety issues. People are worried about that. The MLS is going to do the same quarantine. A guy just tested positive for coronavirus on DC's team. So it's more than just whatever one factor you might have heard. It's a bunch of them. It's not just coronavirus or I'm bored or Kyrie's not going to have available the adult beverage that he wants or the social issues. It's all of that. And these guys have to make that decision. I think it's going to be tough for them.
Like you, I'm still trying to understand their take on it. I'm trying to mostly understand why not playing would, you know, benefit the movement, because I feel like playing would benefit the movement with having, you know, like you said, all the cameras on LeBron and all these star players resuming the season. I don't know. It just seems like not playing would do more harm, in my opinion.
Well, Steven Jackson, who I keep referencing, did explain that. So we'll hear from him momentarily and then do want to hear from you guys. If the NBA doesn't play, are they going to be in trouble? Like if the MLB, we keep talking about, well, this would be a long-term damage to the MLB if they don't play. What about if there's no NBA? 799-1250, Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, more coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.